Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back for our final segment with Dr. James Mitchell. Jim, I want to turn to what they're trying to do to destroy America now. You've set the predicate for it nicely by talking a bit about some of the phenomena that we're seeing in countries where this process of forcing us to submit is unfortunately further advanced. Well, unfortunately for the Brits, fortunately for us. It gives us an opportunity for course corrections, and I want to ask you about the kinds of things that we ought to be doing in a moment. But first, give us sort of, from the point of view of a professional psychologist, an analysis of where we as a nation stand in this fight, how seriously afflicted we are with some of these same problems, the lack of clarity about the importance of our values and our desire to submit to political correctness and the implications for the jihad.
I have a buddy in the FBI, and we were recently talking over coffee, and he mentioned something that I had seen in the paper, and that is that there are jihadi cells in each of the 50 states of the United States. And that's troublesome to me because it didn't used to be that way. And the reason it's become that way is because we have allowed essentially Saudi Arabia to build these Wahhabi mosques. And they use those mosques as a cover to spread this jihadi ideology. If you talk to a Wahhabist will say you have to wait for the caliph to declare war on the infidels. But the flip, the switch that they flip, the radicalization guys flip, is this notion that God has already declared this war. And I don't want to get into that. But that's what's happening, and it's happening here. And if you look at most of the things that we're doing, we're at the wrong end of that pipeline to eventually win this. You know, we're trying to disrupt their networks and capture them before they commit a crime. Hopefully, you know, that we want to capture, try, jail, kill, kick out non-citizens. Well, that's all at the wrong end of that pipeline. We're playing essentially whack-a-mole because the other end of that pipeline is still open. And we're still allowing people to come in and spread that. And I think there are really two things that we should be thinking about doing that we aren't doing. And some of this onus falls on the so-called modern clerics. And that is, we should be attacking violent Islamic ideology by attacking the myths around the origins and the direct line to God that the current ideology has. And then the second things we ought to be doing is instilling doubt in the young men who are thinking about becoming jihadists. And there's a variety of ways to do that. It's probably too complicated for this broadcast. But we need countries like Saudi Arabia to help us to some extent. And we need other countries in the Middle East to help us. So we can't cut them out completely, but we should not allow them to have a free rein to import or export their radicals to us, particularly in the form of the precursors to these terrorists.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the Saudis. Of course, the president made a major address in Saudi Arabia a couple of weeks ago. Do you see the Saudis as having an identity of interests with us at this point in dealing with this jihadist movement, whether it's the Islamic State or the Muslim Brotherhood or other elements of essentially a global jihadist movement, that they have historically done as much to underwrite and inspire and encourage as anybody, I think.
Yeah, the bind that they're in is that the Saudi royal family are apostates to the Islamists, right? And so their desire is actually to kill them. And there's a pretty good bet that if they get into Saudi Arabia and take power, the Islamists will destroy many of the artifacts that are currently associated with the Islamic religion. So they have a personal and, I think, civilizational interest in preventing this from happening, which we really have not exploited to the extent that we could. I don't think they're our I think they truly believe that the whole world should be under Sharia law. And my experience with them is they think it's going to happen anyway, because, through the spread of immigration, you know, through the spread of these ideas. And by the fact that we do very little. They, for example, in Saudi Arabia, it's illegal to own a Bible. It's illegal for people to get together and pray, even in their homes, right? And it's illegal
pray
to pass
to,
out
somebody other than Allah in the approved
right.
Muslim
yeah.
tradition.
For right. Christians to get together and pray or pass out Christian or Jewish religious material. That's how they keep that from spreading in their country. And yet we allow them to export the precursors of that horrible Islamist ideology to ours.
Let's turn to what we need to do about it. If you had the opportunity to make recommendations to the President of the United States, which I very much hope you'll have an opportunity to do, what would you be saying to him about this well, I think of it as kind of an incubator of jihadism in our country, as in Britain, as in France, as in Germany, as in elsewhere in the Western world. We've seen the Saudis, the Qataris, the Turks and others, you know, building infrastructure for recruitment, indoctrination, training of jihadists. You've mentioned that some of the things that have been discussed and even done so far are pretty inadequate to the task. What would you be recommending at this point be done, especially as it relates to the Muslim Brotherhood and this infrastructure it's built here?
Well, I think the Muslim Brotherhood is a terrorist organization. You know, I think they should be identified as one. And I think those people who conspire with them to overthrow our government through violence, you know, should also be indicted in these criminal conspiracies. I think we should be see, there's two pieces of this thing. Again, there's the front of the pipeline and the back of the pipeline. There's all sorts of things that need to be done in the defensive side of this thing. I mean, we should be punishing those people who are funding. Without funding, these terrorist groups dry up. They just can't do it. And so so we should be treating those people who are funding these things with many more sanctions than we are. Unfortunately, the New York Times revealed how we were tracking that funding, so it made it easier for them to change and hide the way that they do that now. But we should not allow into our country these religious organizations who claim to be doing evangelistic sort of things for the Islam for Islam, when in fact what they're doing is spreading radical and violent ideology. There's all sorts of things that we need to do defensively, but we need to see this not as a war against an individual terror cell. We need to approach this like we're going to try to kill the ideology. And to do that, you have to find those places where it's being incubated, and you have to sow doubt among those people who are likely to become enamored with it. And at the same time, you have to provide them with an alternative way of thinking about it. And that can't happen if they're stovepiped into an enclave where little Sharia runs that area. You know, it can't happen. They have to be exposed in their formative years to the notion that Western democracies are good. Otherwise, they won't be able to make the choice. Because, as you know, Abu Zubaydah lived in the United States. KSM got a degree in engineering from a university at the United States. It's not that they don't understand Western values. It's that their pre-exposure to the Islamic beliefs that they were exposed to in their formative years lead them to reject Western values because they don't match their worldview.
You know, James Mitchell, there's so much in what you just said that requires further discussion, but let me just leave with this final thought. I think your last point about the extent to which it serves the interests of these jihadists, of the Islamists, if you wish, the Sharia supremacists seems to me to be the optimum term, that they segregate their communities, they dominate them under their mosque structure, their Islamic societies and cultural centers and front groups and so on. This is of course, exactly what the Muslim Brotherhood has been doing in the United States for about 50 years. It's why you're right, they are a terrorist organization and ought to be rooted out. And I think more broadly, the effort to counter this phenomenon in our midst is so vitally important. Your insights, sir, from your experiences in the Air Force, retiring as a lieutenant colonel, as well as your experiences with the jihadists in the enhanced interrogation program, are incredibly valuable. And we appreciate your service to our country and look forward to talking with you again in the very near future to continue this important conversation. Thank you, Jim Mitchell. Godspeed.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.